Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. As we continue our thoughts from the small epistle of 1 Peter. And if you would, let us stand together. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. And we'll read down through verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this opportunity to be here this day. We ask, Lord, now your hand would be upon each one that's in this room. Lord, we know that many carry burdens and concerns. Lord, we pray that you would just give peace and comfort. Be with those of our number who are not with us today due to illness or being out of town. Lord, we pray you'll bring them back safely to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Before you sit down, why don't you greet somebody nearby and let them know you're glad they're here today. Thank you, and you may be seated. In John chapter 21, you know the story how that Jesus questioned Peter and asked him three times if he loved him. And three times Peter said yes. Jesus responded by saying, first, feed my lambs, and then twice, feed my sheep. One of the ways Peter would do this was in the writing of two letters. Now, he may have written more, but we have two that have been put into our Holy Bible. In the first letter, he addressed them as the strangers scattered. We know because of persecution, they had gone out from Jerusalem and Judea all over. And in the second letter, he addresses them to them that have obtained like precious faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ is precious. It is priceless. It is the most expensive possession you can have is your faith in Jesus Christ. Here in what we call 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he describes the faithful believers as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. He thus calls them chosen, royal, holy, and peculiar. Are you all four of those things? You know, as a believer, that's important. But we need to act like a royal priest. We need to represent the cause of Christ. We find then, Peter says, that we are to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If I were to tell you that our world today is in spiritual darkness, I think most of you would agree. And if you don't agree, it could well be because you are in that spiritual darkness. But we are in a spiritually dark society. We have chosen entertainment and possessions to be of more importance than the cause of Christ. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The lost have not the discernment of what is necessary to get into heaven, because many of them are trying to get in by good works. The good works will not save us, but our good works will be a testimony of our faith. See, our attitude, our action, and our aim in our Christian walk should be to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness. We find in 2 Corinthians 4:4 these words, "The God of this world," that's God with a small g, "our enemy, Satan, the devil, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believed not." I was talking to a fellow pastor yesterday, and he and I were discussing the spiritual darkness in our society and how that so many people don't realize how they're going down the wrong trail in their walk of life. But we find that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We find that Satan is trying to shut down the light. He wants to remove from our society the teachings of the Word of God. He's already gotten prayer out of our public schools. He's removing the Bible in many cases from our public schools. It's all right to talk about Indian superstitions and their type of worship. It's all right even in some of our schools to talk about Islam and the fact that they're really not so bad. But if you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, they don't like you even to wear t-shirts that talk of your faith. See, they want to put out the light. Let them not put out the light. Let us stand bright. In fact, I tell you what, instead of having a 25-watt bulb in our spiritual light socket, let's have a 100-watt or a 200-watt bulb. Let's be willing to shine brightly for the cause of Christ. Matthew 2:2 says, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star and are come to worship him." The star, it produces light. John chapter 1, if you would, quickly. John chapter 1. And I'm looking at the clock and I'm looking at my notes, and we better put it into fourth gear. But John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him." Is it important that you believe that thought, that all things were made by Him? You know, the evolutionist is going to try to tell us, well, it was an explosion, and over billions of years, we got here. No, folks, it wasn't over billions of years. It was some 6,000 years ago that God spoke the Word, and the universe popped into existence. We find in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But here, verse 3 says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was" what? The light of men. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "Ye are the light of the world." Who is the ye? You that are born again, that you are the followers of Jesus, ye are the light of the world. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Your good works glorify the Lord. They don't save you, but they show others of your faith. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. If you would, to the book of Luke chapter 17, all that was just the introduction. Now we're getting to the sermon. Luke 17, beginning at verse 26. And it was so in the days of Noah and other portions of the New Testament, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In the last days, there are some things that are going to happen. And in many cases, they're just like the days of Lot in Sodom and just like the days of Noah at the time of the flood. Point number one is an acceleration of sinfulness. Would you say that men and women seem to be getting more sinful today than ever before? It just seems like, as it says in the book of Genesis, in fact, you may want to turn there. I will turn there. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's what we're living in today. We live in a society that doesn't even blush at what is shown on television. I grew up in the days of Leave It to Beaver. And Mrs. Cleaver, of course, always had chocolate cake for dessert. But you know, we don't see that type of thing on television today. Today, violence and vulgarity and sexuality, and it's like we have to have that or we can't have television. When we find that the billboards are disgraceful in many times. Well, we find that the other day I saw one that tells us that we ought to take out time to misbehave. And that's our idea today, to misbehave. If it wasn't his actions, his thoughts were evil. There was a lack of spirituality. There was no concern for the Word of God. Now you ponder this, that because of the long lives of the people at that point in time in history, there were people that in Noah's day knew people that knew Adam. And Adam would tell them of his conversations with the Lord. He could tell them of creation. He could tell them of all that the Lord had done. And these people had secondhand knowledge of the creation, and they had walked away. And they were after their own lusts. We are admonished and counseled to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We live in a day of human trafficking. Now, if we were to say, oh, we're against slavery, what is human trafficking? It's slavery. We have people that, young ladies especially, that are brought out of third world countries with the idea that they're coming to America. And they're going to be put in some home maybe as a nanny or as a maid. And they're going to live with some nice Americans. And they pay money to be brought here only to be put into sexual slavery and prostitution and working in so-called gentlemen clubs. And we find that they're lied to. And what is behind all of that? Money. Well, we live in a society that is corrupt. And yet when you preach against it, people get upset and say, well, we're not really so bad. But the fact of the matter is we have an acceleration of sinfulness. Number two, there's an approaching storm. There's an approaching storm. I read to you from the book of Genesis, again, verse 7 of chapter 6. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Coming judgment is coming. I believe America is very close to the judgment of the Lord because of abortion. God cannot continue to allow America to exist because of our killing of literally thousands and thousands of the innocent. We find how sad this is. And yet it's exactly what is happening. And God is going to bring judgment. Do you remember when the children of Israel went into the land? Now, Dr. Mark was talking about Joshua, and they're just going into the land, and they are going to go in and destroy the inhabitants of Canaan. Do you remember what is one reason that they're going to go in and destroy them? It's because they passed their children through the fire. Do you remember that? They sacrificed their babies to their heathen gods. And God sent judgment. So God is going to have to send judgment to America because we have done the same thing. And the only thing that's keeping judgment away from America today is gospel preaching churches. And what is Satan trying to do to the gospel preaching churches of today's society? He's trying to silence them. He's trying to give them the idea that we must entertain the lost into heaven. No, we're not entertaining the lost into heaven. We're entertaining the lost into hell. We need to be the preaching of the Word of God. And that's what's important. And judgment is around the corner. It's only a matter of time. We find we have blatant immorality. And we have the denial of God and His creating of the world, let alone His redemptive work on Calvary. If you would, 2 Peter, we've been in 1 Peter, but if you would, 2 Peter chapter 3. There's a coming storm because people are scoffers and they don't want to listen. We'll begin reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Number three, we find there's an active Savior. An active Savior. What did God tell Noah to do? Build an ark. Build an ark. Now, if you go to the ark there in Kentucky, and the ark encounter, you will find that that ark is huge. We've told you before, it's from our sign out front all the way to the back of the blacktop. It was huge. It was bigger than what He needed for the animals of that time. It was bigger than the food that was necessary. The ark was built to take more than 8 people. And yet as we looked at the thoughts a few weeks ago, we find that Noah had brothers and sisters. And none of them came on the ark. That's not because there wasn't room. It's because they chose not to. Even though a Savior was active. The book of Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his family, by which he condemned the world. The world was condemned because he was faithful. How important it is that we remember we are direct people to the door of salvation. And Jesus Christ said, I am the door. Why does God wait? Do you think God has to be sick of this world? Do you? Do you think that he's sick of this world? I think he has to be sick of it. Aren't you sick of the evilness of this society? Aren't you sick that you have to lock your doors? How many of you locked your car doors when you came in? Every one of us probably did. Every one of us. And if you didn't, well, you're thinking, oh, I probably should have done that. I came home Saturday, and Donna was out with Cheryl. They had gone garage sailing. I think that's amazing. Garage sailing. And I came home, and for some reason, you know how it is sometimes you forget to lock the back door? Donna forgot to lock the back door. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, someone could have gotten in. Why would I think that? Because we live in a sick world. Sinful world. Are you in 2 Peter chapter 3? Here's why he's still waiting. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Can I hear an amen on that, that he's long-suffering? Amen. Yes. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that all should come to repentance. Number 4, out of 4. Aren't you glad there are only 4 points? You know, a perfect sermon has 7 points. This is over half good. Point 4, last point, an able spokesman. We find in 2 Peter chapter 3 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. For 100 plus years, he declared the fact that a storm was coming and they must get on the ark or they'll die. We are to proclaim the same statement. You must come in at the door. But will they listen? If you would please, 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Last Wednesday night when Pastor Stephen was talking from Ezra, 2 Chronicles, I came across this verse. It wasn't that I wasn't listening, Pastor Stephen. It's just that I have it highlighted in red and it caught my attention. But if you would, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 15 and 16. See, there was an able spokesman at that time and they wouldn't listen. Notice verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 36. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. And they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets. Until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. God would allow the people of Israel to go into captivity. First the northern 10 tribes, and then later the second 2 southern tribes, taken into captivity because of their blatant denial of God. Folks, we have been blessed by gospel preaching churches that have been proclaimed the gospel message. And people mock us today. They call us intolerant. They say that we're unworthy even to exist. But that doesn't mean the message isn't necessary and that the message isn't true. In conclusion, 1 Peter 2:9 says, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? His desire is that we will come into the light. I'm having my eyes examined tomorrow, and he will shine lights into my eyes, and I will not like it. And then he will show me pictures of my eyes, and he'll say, see here, a little bit of graying right there, but it's not too bad yet. And then he'll say, oh, do you take something for diabetes? Don't we all? You know, he'll be able, because of the light, to tell what the problem is. We don't like the light shined on our spiritual walk because it reveals our needs. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not just some, all have come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin, your sins caused the death of Christ. Correct? Your sins. So the wages of sin is what? Death. Jesus is either your Savior or your judge. You either have accepted Him as your Savior, or He will judge you at the last times because you haven't accepted Him. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. He is the provider of our salvation. We can't work our way to heaven. What do you think you can do to let God say, oh, come on in? Who do we think we are? We are mere humans. We are sinful humans. Sin separates. But the Lord has removed that separation. He has shown the light. We are to show the light. Shall we stand together? A song of invitation this morning will be Just As I Am, 375. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? And if so, are we sending the light? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that your hand would be upon this invitation time. Lord, help us to be that light, reflecting your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.